Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Welcome to the Thursday Upswing Show. Commerce, community, the future, and more. Ooh, Martin Moore, indeed.
Ooh, well done.
Yes.
Well done,
the
sir.
The future of almost everything. What's the future of sedans? Touch screens in cars? What about those subscription services we're all being offered through automobile manufacturers? We're going to talk to James Bell, the head of corporate communications at Kia America, a little bit later in the show. We're also going to tackle DPPs. What are they? Are they the future of shopping transactions? A little bit about Amazon and Alexa, the future of wedding venues and contracts, and how to make sure that you lock your wedding venue in the right way. Maybe we'll get to apps, celebrity brands, and we pulled some numbers around the breaking news of the Boston Celtics being sold. Big numbers, big increases for sure. But as we do each and every morning, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
two
Up on the Upswing.
Two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. A Madison and Milwaukee pizza is heading to Iowa. Iowa State actually in Milwaukee right now for the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament at Fiserv. Ian's Pizza is a Madison-found pizza company, has two locations in Madison, lots of love here in Milwaukee with three locations. They announced on their website and on Facebook that they'll soon open a new location in Iowa in partnership with Lion Bridge Brewing Company in Cedar Rapids. Ian's Pizza will partner with the brewery to offer its iconic pizzas that are really creative, come with fresh ingredients, really big slices too. Personally, I'm a big fan of the mac and cheese pizza. I think they kind of innovated that and done really well in terms of positioning. Ian's, they do great work. Their 2030 vision on their website says they're going to roll out additional locations nationwide with a coalition of independently owned, employee-led restaurants. Second up, X. A little bit on Elon here. This is from Bloomberg. Elon Musk's social network X has raised close to $1 billion in new equity from investors. This is according to people with knowledge to the matter that they told Bloomberg.com. It's a deal that gives the company a valuation in line with when Musk took it private in 2022. Musk participated in the equity raise, according to many people involved in this story, all of whom asked, of course, not to be identified because they're discussing private information. But the interesting thing is here, the Twitter buyout included at least $12.5 billion in debt, meaning the latest fundraising raise prices the company back at $44 billion of enterprise value, close to his initial purchase. The future of X, well, that could be a whole show, Martin, so maybe we'll tackle that next week.
Yeah. That's we can do a TED Talks.
Indeed. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore. It's the future of almost everything. That's what we do on Thursdays. So, Martin, some breaking news seen it on many sources this morning, that Bill Chisholm, who is the co-founder of the private equity firm STG Partners, is buying the Boston Celtics for a reported $6.1 billion, the largest sale for a sports franchise in North American history.
That's big coin.
Any guesses as to what the current ownership group paid for the franchise back in 2002, 2003?
Oh, my God. What did they sell it for right now?
Sold it for $6.1 billion is what the number is being reported at.
more than 20 years ago. I'm going to say like billion and a half.
22 years ago, the current ownership group purchased the franchise for $360 million.
Oh, boy. That's a jump.
Yes.
Those are some nice gains.
Yeah, a little quick math I've seen on a couple different X accounts. 1,594% gain or 13% annualized. Of course, includes two championships in Boston, 2008
sure.
and
one with Doc Rivers.
2024, indeed. Yes. So not a bad, not only valuation there, but a gain for the current ownership group.
Sell, buy low, sell high.
Yes. And obviously, you look at other franchise valuations across the league. You know, the Phoenix Suns were sold for $4 billion in February of 2023. Monkey Bucks had
I was just
a transaction recently at, I think the valuation was $3.5 billion. And the Mavericks had a change in ownership, too, at $3.5 billion in December of 2023. So franchise values continue to increase. I thought one report, interestingly, that the arena has a separate ownership group that owns the Bruins. So not including the real estate in that, that's even more impressive.
I had no clue that the Bruins and the Celtics shared the same arena.
Yeah.
Which is shocking because it's not like the Bruins don't deserve their own, with how many championships they have, their own arena. I wonder what the thinking is behind that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, being able to participate in the development in and around the arena is so incredibly important to the ownership groups. But being able to collaborate on promotions, it works really well, too.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, we are going to dive into the future of sedans with Kia America. Oh, remember the old sedan, Martin? You probably were a big sedan fan back in the
day. Do I look like a sedan fan? Okay, sure.
I don't know, but I think the sedans might be on their way back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore. It's the future of almost everything. That's what we do on Thursdays. James Bell is the head of corporate communications at Kia America. James joins us. James, how's your day going today?
Well, I'm here with you talking about cars. I call that a good day.
Indeed. All right. So Martin and I were talking a little bit in the first segment about the future of sedans. First, yep. Give us the level set definition of a sedan, just to make sure everyone knows what we're about to talk about.
I guess you would use the old phrase, a family car. So four doors, hood, trunk, trunk lid. So just the more what we all drew when we were kids as cars.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of three box thing.
A little bit of old school, kind of. Do you think that the sedans are just totally out of fashion? I mean, it seems like they've kind of gone the way of the station wagon, and they're just not cool anymore, right? Everyone's going to the crossovers and the SUVs and the smaller vehicles.
Let's think about what happens in cool factor. Eventually, when everybody has it, it's not cool anymore. So I think that's kind of where we're heading here. Now, you know, station wagons maybe not be coming back, but people are using crossovers and SUVs the same way they use station wagons for loading them up with Costco runs and the kids to school and all that. So we, you know, look, at here at Kia, we love SUVs and crossovers too. About 70% of our sales are those. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is that for many people, why do you have, you know, room for seven people, all that extra glass, all that extra steel, all that extra seats and things, if you're in the car by yourself 95% of the time? That's extra utility that you're not utilizing.
And not just that, but one people forget about sedans that's advantageous is they typically get better gas mileage.
Yeah.
Or longer range than a larger, heavier SUV or crossover.
it's simple physics, isn't it? I mean, if you've got a lighter vehicle, you don't need to put the biggest engine in there to get it up to speed. You're more aerodynamic. You're more fun to drive. I mean, there's a an agility issue to it, which I think is something people don't recognize. If you're hustling down the highway in a big SUV and a ladder falls off a truck ahead of you, those big SUVs aren't so easy to move quickly.
Yeah.
And so you might end up running it over and causing a problem. Whereas with a sedan, you're a little lighter on your feet, and you might be able to avoid it. So there's a nice safety component, which I think people don't consider. They just feel, oh, I've got the biggest car available, so I must be safer. I see it the other way.
How much does cost come into this for the couple sedan models that Kia has? Is it obviously, price point is much lower
yeah.
than the SUVs?
It's simple economics. If you don't have to have all that extra metal and glass and leather and so forth, and it becomes a less pricey vehicle. That and just, I mean, when you look at the average transaction price on an SUV these days, it's $70,000 plus. That's not cheap. And so the manufacturers like Kia that are still in the sedan business, I should say, we recognize that. And so we want to have some nice options and choices. And so, simple economics tells you that a sedan is cheaper to build, so therefore it's cheaper to buy.
Yeah. Are the sedans from Kia hybrid or all electric?
Do you
have that opportunity in the K4 and K5s?
I will give you a little sneak peek here, a little news. We've got at the New York Auto Show in about 25 days, the K4 sedan, which has been in our lineup now for about 6 months and off to a tremendous start. It's usually our top one or two selling cars in our line. We're going to do an all-electric. It's not an exact replica of the K4, but we're calling it the EV4. And it's very similar looking, very similar idea, but done in an all-electric, very modern way. So, yes, the idea of, having, again, a range of choice, hybrid, plug-in hybrid, gasoline, and electric is going to be definitely part of the sedan, landscape.
Nice. That's exciting. So I want to talk a bit about touchscreens and non-touchscreens in cars.
Okay.
I saw last week that Volkswagen said that beginning with its new electric vehicles due out in 2026, the volume heating, fans, the hazard lights, they're all going physical again because we all seem to not want to drive down the highway and touch those screens. Is that what you're seeing at Kia, too?
Well, if you allow me to brag here for a moment, we've already been doing that. Volkswagen's just catching up with us because, there's a safety component to that.
Yeah.
It might be cool high-tech when you're at the dealership. You have to go in the screen to, open the glove box. Well, that might be something fun when you're, showing your friends, but that's not convenient. Or, as you said, changing the temperature, changing the radio volume, all that kind of stuff, that's silly to make that difficult. And, again, there's a safety part. If you're having to scroll through screens, you're not paying attention to the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, Volkswagen, they can thank us because we've been there for a long time. We already have knobs for doing those day-to-day common functionalities.
My 2025 Tucson, the Hyundai brought back the knobs and stuff, and it's much appreciated. I've loved Hyundai and Kia for like a decade now. I think they're just one of the greatest brands and success stories. And just little things like that and the attention to detail and bringing actual useful things back like that. I love it.
Yep. No, it's funny how that I saw that Volkswagen news too, and I kind of sat and smiled for a second.
We're talking with James Bell, head of corporate communications at Kia America. James, obviously appreciate your time again. So what are you seeing in terms of the future of membership and subscription programs from automobile manufacturers? It seems like, there's
a
bit of an upsell there sometimes. You include a package for a while, and then it's a $5.99 monthly fee or $59 annually. What are you seeing from the consumer lens in terms of the approachability here?
It feels to me that there's an element of early adopter that I'm buying this vehicle. It has these over-the-air upgrades and updates that I can do, and they're jumping in on it. I struggle to see a long-term part of it. I think that car companies are going to, as you said, people will buy the subscription to an additional feature and give it a test And if it isn't something that they really makes their day-to-day drive better, then they might let that expire. But I tend to think that inevitably, because we have modems in the vehicles now and so much can be done in a software basis to upgrade the performance or the enhance the experience, you'll still have that functionality, but I think it's only going to get more and more affordable.
All right, good. In the past couple of years, we've had some challenges with Kia in Milwaukee and other markets with cars getting stolen a little easier. Yeah. Has that all been rectified on your end?
Oh, yes, definitely so. So as a running change to production back in 2021, all vehicles have the immobilizer built in. So that addressed that for any newer cars, again, since 2021. And then we rolled out a software upgrade, which basically mimics the activity of an immobilizer for all vehicles that have been impacted by this. And by the way, it's only those vehicles that have a steel key to turn and start the car. If you've got a Kia that has a push-button start, you're already excluded from the problem. So, yes, we have addressed that. And in fact, I just saw a story day before yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about how theft rates in general are going kind of flatline for most car companies, but going down for Kia because of all the good work we've done.
All right. Quickly, James, what's the future of color schemes in automobiles? I think it seems to go in all black and white. Like, that's the only kind of cars you seem to see. Are you seeing more variety at all in terms of the reds and blues?
I'm hearing from our design team that it's kind of getting into the bluish grays and the greenish grays and beiges, a little more sedate kind of stuff. But where I'm seeing the really interesting thing, though, is on the interior color schemes.
White.
The K4. Yeah, I mean, well, white colors, red colors, you know, things that you would not have. Blue, we've got a purple interior on one of our cars now. So, yeah, it's the way to get to express your personality is going to be on the inside and the outside.
Very good. James Bell, head of corporate communications at Kia America. James, we appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore. It's the future of almost everything. That's what we do on Thursdays. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Super affordable, ton of fun, really family friendly too. World-class game room. I say it all the time. It's quietly, conveniently set aside so the kids can hang out up there. I mean, good for mom and dad, too, for sure. But mom and dad can kind of hang out at the bar. Kids can have a whole lot of fun playing whatever game they choose in the world-class game room. Kids under 5 eat for free Monday through Thursday from the kids' menu. Every Thursday, when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza for free. Caller number 7 at 855-616-1620. It's a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. Let's go from Mineshaft to Minecraft, Martin.
Ooh.
How about that?
I know you play a lot of Minecraft, right, Jeff?
How many dollars
do you think you've racked up?
I used to when our kids were a little younger. They were big into
it. Did you really?
So, yeah.
Well, I was kidding.
I kind of like Minecraft. I like the...
Hey, that's fine. Everybody's got their...
It's creative.
News.
You know, it gets... I don't know. It stimulates the mind a little bit,
hey,
and you're
also,
building.
That stuff is good for dementia, Alzheimer's, any cognitive diseases that you develop. You got to stay creative. Netflixing and chilling ain't going to do it.
That's right. I hear that. So McDonald's this morning said it's launching Minecraft movie meals in a flame sauce for a limited time. Minecraft movie comes out April 4th. The new Happy Meals, if you will, come out April 1st. The twist here, though, is there isn't a kids version. There isn't an adult version. There's just two different versions. They haven't said the prices yet, but one includes a bit more food and drink, limited edition collectible, your choice of a Big Mac, or the 10-piece chicken McNuggets.
Oof, what a delicious snack. Jeff, stop talking dirty to me.
Yeah, so they're kind of an interesting move here. Obviously, the tie-in with the movie. But moving away a little bit from, ooh, the meals are just for the kids. Sure. But here's two price levels. And if you're a kid, well, we wouldn't mind if you buy the more expensive
one. Sure. When's the last time you bought a Happy Meal for yourself?
Oh, man, it was...
Or have you ever bought a Happy Meal for yourself?
It's been years. But I think every now and then when McDonald's makes these releases, you're like, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll drive through. But I'm all really going if one of my kids say, hey, gotcha. We got to have it. And we just don't.
I have not been to a McDonald's in like 5-6 years, maybe.
All right. Well, Minecraft Movie Collectibles also comes with digital perks, so customers can get one of 12 Block World toys or one of 6 exclusive collectibles inspired by some of McDonald's, of course, most beloved characters and menu items. So Minecraft Movie and McDonald's, that's coming soon to a drive-thru near you. So a little follow-up on the Kia conversation, Martin. The subscription models from automobile manufacturers, I think, is really interesting. And we touched on it briefly, like the Kia Connect. Sure. Essentially, you buy a new Kia or Hyundai, you get access to what 911 connects, yep, maintenance, remote charge, a bunch of things. But then after a while, the free goes away and you're paying monthly.
Not unless you're like me and you lease for the rest of your life.
You get around that. That's nice.
I don't know if that's getting around it. Yeah, it is. It's going to be the future subscription services. We've seen it with BMW. They were charging $18 a month in some countries for heated seats. Mm-hmm. Mercedes-Benz was doing it to make your 0-60 faster. Obviously, you know, there's other brands other than Hyundai and Kia that, you know, they'll charge for a remote start. And there's too much money in it to not experiment with it.
Yeah.
And I'd just be really curious, in a world where we're all used to subscription services for everything, how much as consumers will welcome that with open arms, or if they'll just be so much disdain for another subscription service that it'll kind of come and go.
Well, it's all about incremental revenue, but ultimately it's about bundling services too. Like, absolutely, things that you're like, ooh, I didn't traditionally get the, you know, roadside assistance through,
sure,
XYZ brand. So putting all those into one, I mean, what would you be willing to pay for additionally above and beyond that you're not right now? Is it the heated seats, the heating steering wheel? Is it something else?
Heated seats. I won't buy the car if it doesn't come with heated seats.
That's right. It's almost standard.
Or I don't pay, but I would pay, I want to say it's maybe like $5 or $10 a month for my Hyundai Blue Link, which is like my remote start. Mm. I have 360 cameras on my car, so I can get pictures of it to see if, you know, someone dinged it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that something like that is advantageous for me because I spend so much time. Well, I don't really spend a ton of my time in my car, but I spend enough of it where, you know, being able to monitor it, make sure it's locked, unlock it, remote start it, view the cameras, that's worth it for me. But that's sort of where I draw the line. Like, I'm not paying for navigation. I get it on my phone. I'm not paying for heated seats.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious what other things people would be willing to pay if the car can go faster, get better gas mileage.
Yeah.
Because as the manufacturer, you can lower the price of the car, get people to buy it, and then make your money back with the subscription services.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of those technology upgrades that might be appealing.
Self-driving, that'll be a big one.
Indeed, yes. And there'll probably be different variations there, and you're going to want the premium, most safe,
sure,
package. So you're going to be able to,
would you like,
spend
the free,
a little bit more
self-driving? Yes, yes. Or would you like to pay an extra $20 a month for the one that doesn't kill you and your family?
The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620 from the 262. I hate subscriptions and renting, leasing, anything.
Yes.
I try to own everything outright and keep it until it isn't useful anymore. Currently listening to WTMJ on a 1980s Sony Walkman mini radio.
Hopefully with Cost Porta Pros you're listening.
Indeed. Yes, that's the only way to do it. When we come back, what is the future of wedding reception venues and contracts? Story you probably heard about. We're going to dive into it a little bit more, but I want Martin's take on the things you need to do to make sure that wedding reception venue is safe, secure, and locked in. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore. Martin, talk a bit about the future of wedding reception venues and event spaces. A lot of new event spaces all across the state of Wisconsin. Where'd you get married and how did you pick your venue?
We got married at the Miller Room at O'Donnell Park.
Okay.
And I always wanted to get married downtown. Jen's family is from Southwest Wisconsin, so like Gays Mills area, La Crosse. So I was very thankful that they all drove to the city, but we really wanted to get married like downtown, down by the lake. And the views were just incredible. Irish Fest was going on, so there's fireworks. Nice. We had Irish dancers. But it just, as soon as we saw it, we walked in. I was like, yep, this is it.
Nice. Yeah, we had somewhat similar. We were at what is now Bacchus.
It was
the Boulevard Inn right on Wells Street, kind of overlooking the lake. The family had sold it to Bartolotta, so we were the last event in the space. So we had the whole restaurant to ourselves. So we were able to kind of make it our own, which was really, really special.
Paint the walls.
Indeed, yeah. And just kind of like, hey, this is the last party. Let's go. Have some fun. But in the news this week is a venue called Black Swan MKE. It was evicted from its Third Ward wedding venue building inside the Renaissance building right on Water Street. So a bunch of couples are kind of scrambling that the company has closed and filed bankruptcy, and now they're without a venue to hold.
Not good.
Their reception. What are some of the things that you can do on the front side to make sure this doesn't happen? Obviously, things happen. It's a lot of uncertainty in the business world for sure. But one thing you really have to do when you're talking to venue owners is make sure you do all your research, get everything in writing. Make sure you know what you can bring in, what you can't bring in,
right. And
just really dive deep and don't rely on the venue to kind of set the terms.
A handshake.
It's a negotiation.
Make sure there's a contract. Read the contract. Figure out what happens if for some reason they end up not being able to uphold their end of the deal. They close or whatever happens. There's an act of God or something like that.
Right.
That not only do you get your money back, but a lot of times you can get some extra money because now you have to find a new venue last minute. It's more expensive, limited options. And so a lot of times that stuff's worked into a contract too. And if it's not in there and that's something that concerns you, ask.
It's such a big, important event. No matter what it is, wedding or not, make sure you have the agreed upon price and inclusions. Know what the timing is. Know exactly what you're allowed to bring in and not. Many of these venues have exclusive catering contracts that you're not allowed to bring in this or that. Get everything in writing. Many of them require deposits, but make sure you set that payment schedule and you know what you have to pay, when you have to pay. Mm-hmm. Tour the venue thoroughly, of course, and do it with as high a level of management as you can. And then verify the licenses and the permits.
That's a
lot of extra work, but I think it's important if you're going to a smaller venue that you just don't know all the details about.
Sure, you don't want the fire marshal coming in or the cops to bust you because they don't have an alcohol license or whatever it is. And insurance, that's another thing too. Guests could get food poisoning. What do they have for insurance? You know, there's a lot of little things when you're dealing with 100, 200, 300 people for a wedding that you have to make sure that all your grounds are covered.
Have backup options is another thing for sure. The good thing with out of bad usually comes a little bit of good. I'm really seeing a lot of the local venues, even companies like Saz is kind of outreaching to the people that don't have venues and saying, hey, we are here to help. We're a collaborative hospitality environment in greater Milwaukee. When we come back, the future of apps. We'll give you some dollars and cents around what app makers are making and what they're not making. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore. I saw a report yesterday, Martin, that the state of subscriptions for apps, this is a company called Revenue Cat, they said that the top 5% of newly launched apps make over 400 times more in their first 2 years than the bottom 25%. The report also noted that only 19% of new apps across all categories generate $1,000 or more in recurring revenue within 2 years. And it made me think, like, I think the opportunity around new app development from a revenue standpoint, it's kind of gone by the wayside because the way we use apps now is drastically different than 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we're all conditioned now to download apps and pay nothing for them. I mean, think about your most used apps, your bank apps, your Facebook, your weather, sports, news, none of that stuff you're paying for. And so once you come across an app that wants a subscription service or 99 cents or $2.99, you're just kind of like, I don't want to pay that, you know? And that's a problem for developers because they can't make stuff for free. They have to make money. And so, you know, it really comes down to creating apps that are going to make people's lives better and easier and help them in some way and do something and have some sort of functionality that the free app doesn't, because that's the other problem is competition and just alternatives.
Yeah. And you look at the upper end, 5% of all new apps reach $10,000 in revenue. And for smaller businesses, that may be like, wow, that's a lot. But for a media company or somebody that's in e-commerce, that's just not enough to move the needle.
No, it's not. And then you have to update these apps too. It's not like you just make it and move on. There's new Android phones, there's new iPhones, there's new iPads, and those all have requirements every time that they have a update. And a lot of times you have to update the app's backend, security stuff, the user interface, all kinds of things to accommodate, front selfing cameras or whatever it is. And so, that stuff costs money too.
Yeah. The future of apps, ever-changing for sure. I think we're going more and more to the usability. Ooh, that's for next 30.
All
right, we're going to do that. Well, make sure you tune in tomorrow because it is the third Friday of Lent, and we will have our fish fry price checked to open the show tomorrow.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
A judge approves the sale of a Spanish manufacturer's plant on Milwaukee's north side. The sale of Sieg Lazaro's plant to an affiliate of Bentley World Packaging for $2.5 million resolves the metal fabricator's receivership case. WRTP Big Step receives a grant of up to $10 million from a Madison organization to help expand access to apprenticeships throughout Wisconsin. The nonprofit will receive the funding over the next 5 years. And neighbors opposed to the planned Bucky's Travel Center in Oak Creek hire an attorney to help fight the development. The city's Common Council this week advanced changes to its comprehensive plan and the zoning for the site to accommodate the retailer. I'm Sari Lesk with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.